you've got to judge Congress and Cambodia in terms of the major congressional actions that were taken in the last 5 years of the war. I won't go through all of them. I'll tick them off for you. There's six, I think. the first was the Fulbright Amendment of 1971 that specified South Vietnam and Thailand and others could not use funds provided to them to furnish military support to Cambodia. The Cooper Church Amendment, Frank Church is one of the leading villains of Congress, in my opinion. Totally irresponsible man. Anyway, the Cooper wasn't so bad. The Cooper Church Amendment in 1970 prohibited the use of funds for the introduction of U.S. ground troops into Cambodia or to provide U.S. advisors. The Symington Case Amendment limited the number of, this was 2 years later, a year later, the number of civilian officers and employees in the executive agencies of the government. There are about 200 Americans in Cambodia, official Americans, civilians, at the time, and a limited number of third country nationals, mostly Thais and Filipinos. And this made it, I think they numbered about 85. And this appropriation cut off any money to them. And then the second supplemental appropriation in 1973 said that any American military action anywhere in Indochina is illegal. And the final one, the 1974 Fiscal Appropriations Act, said there can no money can be spent in, over, or from off the shore of North Vietnam, South Vietnam, Laos, or Cambodia in the support of Cambodia. And finally, the sixth one is Foreign Service Act, Foreign Assistance Act of 1973. No money could be spent for military or paramilitary combat operations. And this was interpreted as meaning that if Thailand were threatened by Vietnam, they could not use U.S. equipment and that they could not give any money, this reiteration, nobody in the region that got military aid from the U.S. could give anything anything at all to the Cambodians, even their own money. What I remember in Phnom Penh, on this Foreign Service Act of 73 was passed, the ambassador and his lawyers interpreted it as meaning that nobody in this embassy can go 5 miles out of Phnom Penh, no matter what their objective. Before they were going out as observers, or before that they were going out as military consultants or advisors, but each of these cut down the amount of activity that you could engage in, and so finally, just to be on the safe side, they just built this invisible wall around Phnom Penh, and nobody could leave the country or leave the city. Couldn't even go to Angkor Wat. I came in from Saigon, and I thought, oh, that's all right, you can go to Angkor Wat, he said. This only applies to people who work here, who live here. Well, what was dismaying and even irrational, really, in this congressional record is it represents an orchestrated congressional effort to prevent what was most needed and should have been most attractive to Congress, namely a U.S. policy to facilitate the Cambodians in their efforts to defend themselves without U.S. combat troops. It's now clear that the chances of Phnom Penh success in the early years were favorable. The Khmer Rouge was embryonic, its relations with the Vietnamese communists extremely poor, its ranks were full of shot through by factionalism. Quite probably, the Khmer Rouge could have been crushed by the Cambodian army in the initial years given reasonable or logistic and perhaps advisory support by the United States. Well, there's one other subject aspect of Congress which I think I'll forego until next time, which has to do with the War Powers Act. It's the single most important event in the history of Congress. And again, I would say the War Powers Act. We still have it with us. We still don't know exactly what it means or how you interpret it, but I'll go into that next time. Okay, any questions, comments? All right, see you. That's Tuesday if the creek.